Viewer discretion is advised.
Time? Is it really that time again?
How about new, you crazy Dutch bastard?
Chocolate!
We're gonna skate to one song only.
Killing spree!
And welcome in to the second, and yes, that is right, second episode of the FC Newscast. Max and I have now made it 2 weeks. Unfortunately, though, Max isn't going to be able to join me until later on in the show, so this first segment that's FC stuff, I'm going to go ahead and do solo. However, I do happen to have somebody with me that's very dear to my heart. I actually have my love interest with me. So for any of you guys who were wondering who it was, I'm not going to release their name, but they are going to introduce themselves now. In some way, shape, or form. So go ahead and do that, hun.
Hi.
You might want to speak up a bit, babe.
Yeah. Hi.
I can't do this anymore. This isn't my love
Don't
interest.
Laugh at me.
You look fat in that dress. Anyway. It, in fact, is not my love interest. It is actually our secret benefactor, who shall not be named, that is helping me out with this first segment because Max can't be here. If you're wondering who is this benefactor and why should I care, they're actually the one providing the Microsoft point codes for the contest that no one is participating in.
Yeah, what the hell?
So you guys should, like, you know, get on that now.
Immediately.
But anyway, so let's go ahead and do this first thing. Of course, we're going to talk about battle results. Tonight was an interesting night. We played on two different maps, of course, Exile and Vertigo, Exile being a 6v6, Vertigo being a 4v4. Interesting turn of events. Red used an ambush on Exile, first time I've seen it used since I joined FC about a year ago, at least the only time that I remember. And for the first map, Exile, it actually was relatively close. It ended up coming down to the 16th game. It was supposed to be best out of 10. It ended up being a red win. By 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 wins by red, making 8 wins for blue. So, yeah, in terms of who really shined that time, Statbook stuff isn't totally done yet, guys, so I apologize for doing this impromptu. It looks like Legacy did very well, of course. VBD did very well. And my squad did very well. The Breakfast Beatdown, which isn't listed anywhere here, but trust me, we won all of our games. Just believe. The other section, Vertigo, was a 4v4. This one actually came down to a blue victory by the time of the 19th game out of 23. Blue pretty much came out really strong, was dominating in the beginning, had, all but one win out of the first five. Red started to make a tiny bit of a comeback, and then they made a push where they just won four games in a row. A couple of those games were very close, but for the most part, Red kind of just blew our squads out of the water. And then Blue came back at the end real strong. I know I was part of the game that actually won the victory, the Blue mix versus the Red Watch mix, as was my, little benefactor person here.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was a very good game. It was a one flag liberation game. It's the first time I've played one flag liberation since I joined the community. That was actually my first game type, I believe, when I joined.
It's actually a fun game type.
So it is.
I don't mind playing it.
I remember when I first played it, I was very confused at first. I was just kind of like, what is this? Because I was used to two flag, and I was just like, what are we doing? I don't get this.
Yeah, when I first joined, the first one flag game I played, I was trying to get the flag that was in the air and trying to figure out some way to do it, and I'm pretty sure it was on Vortex. And yeah, Myth was laughing at us saying, oh yeah, it's only one flag. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense.
Don't laugh at me, Myth. Me. Oh boy. But yeah, so that's pretty much your Battle Knight stuff. I know that I said that I'd go into a lot more with stats and all that kind of stuff. I'm starting to almost regret that because that means I have to do a lot more work on my hand because just the stat book isn't done by this time.
Just don't look at it.
Just don't look at it.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
It looks like the weekly squad statistics actually haven't been updated in the stat book since the first battle night of this war. If anybody knows, because I know Myth actually listens to these, if you guys stop doing that, just go ahead and let me know, and I'll start doing these beforehand. I actually kind of logged on expecting to see them. Maybe that's asking too much.
Yeah, maybe after today. I don't know.
Yeah, after today. Today was a very long day. But yeah, in terms of other FC news, of course, we are running a contest, which you guys should totally, like, you know, show up to. I forgot. In terms of other attacks, I don't know why I forgot this. We also have the auxiliary attacks to talk about. There were two from both ends. Blue assaulted both Terminus and Daybreak, and Red assaulted both Orion and Skyline. Which Blue actually put two mercenary purchases on each map that we were assaulting, interestingly enough. Red only did one on Skyline for them, and it ended up coming out that Blue was able to take Orion, we were able to at least defend Orion, and take Terminus. Red did exactly what they wanted to. They defended their map of Daybreak and took Skyline. So essentially, all in all, everything was a trade this week. Blue and Red pretty much traded all maps.
Did you say balance?
Did I say ballots?
Balance.
Oh yeah, balance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had that whole issue with balance, and I know Blue had two squads that weren't able to show up really with full members tonight. But I think it was definitely a lot closer. The 4v4s, Blue definitely shined. But considering the squads that have been in there, 4v4s are kind of their specialty. Red definitely brought their game for the 6v6, and I think they're going to continue to do so for 6v6 and 8v8s. Just kind of seems to be how, it seems like those have switched, which is real interesting because it used to be the other way around, you know?
Yeah, it used to be the other way around. It used to be Red had the 4v4 squads and Blue couldn't do anything about it.
So that is very interesting. Sorry guys, I feel a little lame because I don't have much to talk about. I always thought that like we would have a lot more, but in terms of looking over the war map and going into depth, I want to wait until I actually have Mistall Max Doggy with me, on the grounds of nothing to say against my benefactor here. But I've heard, and this is what I've heard, that Max Doggy is one of the best strategists in all of FC to have ever existed. That being said, I think it'd be very, very interesting to have him pick apart the war map and make some predictions. I think that'll definitely be his forte. Not mine.
He needs to find it once he does it.
Huh?
Nothing.
No. Go ahead and tell. Please do.
I'm just saying, like, we'll find out if he's good or not by the time he does it.
Yes, we will. And also, in case you guys were wondering what's up with on his iPhone, and it's actually breaking up a tiny bit for me. Don't know if it is for you guys at home. I won't know until post-production. So.
You said my name.
Oh, did I?
Oh.
I'm going to bleep it. If you guys are wondering what are they talking about, that's right. I bleeped his name.
You'll never know.
Unless they recognize your voice.
Yeah, no, they're not going to recognize my voice.
I don't know, I can still recognize that it's you. It's different from Xbox Live, but I can still tell it's you.
Yeah, but that's because you spend so much time. I mean, you never spend any time with me. I don't know you at all. I'm just like the Shadow Broker, you know? I just... that could very well be the lover slash benefactor.
Definitely. Some interesting games, just looking at here from what I saw. There was a single flag liberation game between VBD and Sedulous 1, and Sedulous 1 tied VBD in a 4v4. I think everybody in the community would agree. That's saying something.
Wow, that's really good, actually.
Yeah, Sedulous must have brought their damn game. Seeing if there are any other real, real close matches here. Like, that were, like, within a point. Not within a point, but Blackguard beats Sparta in Extraction 16-14.
Wow.
That's very close. Second Nature beat Legacy, actually. Wow. Legacy 2, 16-14 in Extraction. Apparently, that's the number.
Mm. What 16 else is a good number.
16 is a very good number, apparently.
Sweet.
Sparta beat Second Nature 10-8 in Extraction on Exile.
Did they really?
Wow. Beyond Belief beats Sparta, clinching a win 11-10 in Extraction on Exile.
That would have been a good game to watch.
Hot damn. Hot damn indeed.
11-10?
Yup.
Oh my god.
They had one point that they must have just been fighting on back and forth, and Blue was able to secure that other one to get the win.
Those are those games that you're playing and it's down to the wire and it's tied up, or, you know, you're down by two or something like that. And near the end of the game, you pull off a win and you're just shouting the whole time into the lobby.
Yeah. No, you're shouting and then you realize you're going into the lobby and everybody goes dead silent and then says good game and then leaves and then won't stop shouting afterwards.
Yep. That's exactly how it goes. Because, you don't want to make anybody feel bad or anything. So
of course not.
Good game, and then after you leave, yeah!
Well then, guys, I think that pretty much wraps up this first part for FC News. There's nothing else really going on that's big. If I'm forgetting something, please definitely send it in a listener mail, along with your entry for the goddamn contest.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
our benefactor here can, you know, give you money.
Have these monies and it needs to be given away.
But
it makes me feel good.
So it makes you feel good.
If you don't participate, then I can't feel good.
You're solely doing this for the karma benefits.
Even if you won't know who gave it to you, but deep down you'll say, wow, I made someone feel good today.
So yeah, guys, I'm going to go ahead and kick you guys over to a break. When we come back, we'll have this very long, of course, section of gaming news with Max Doggy and myself. And again, keep sending in that listener mail, keep listening, and as always, stay classy. Well, I don't know why I said that. That makes it sound like I'm ending the show. I'm not ending the show. Fuck you. Keep listening. Grr.
You're just kicking me off.
I'm just kicking you off. Benefactor, stay classy. And welcome back into the FC Newscast, which of course is the second episode of the FC Newscast. I want to stress this. I know I've already said it before, but I want to say it again. We've made it two whole episodes, Max. How do you feel?
I feel that I deserve some sort of prize or monetary payment at this point in time, because I think a lot of you are now more informed than you were before. So if you guys want to set up a little donation fund, my PayPal will be available, hopefully in the links below. You guys can go through there. I would greatly appreciate it. However, to not be an ass and steal all of your money, I'm feeling good.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully you can give them more incentive today and we can present with them even more gaming news, which, by the way, in case you guys are wondering, where are they going to get to the other news? Well, I know that I said that we would also cover other news. Unless the other news is really, really big in the world or whatever else, we'll probably cover it in the podcast instead. What I've found is that there is plenty of gaming news each week, which I didn't know. I always thought that there wasn't much gaming news for quite some time, and then all of a sudden a bunch would hit at once.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we cannot have nice things. However, Max has enlightened me to the fact that there is always tons of gaming news. And so, considering that we are a gaming community, I think we'll keep the newscast just gaming news.
Will it be rebranded as the gaming cast? We don't know.
No, because this is also FC news, as was demonstrated in the first section. So we would have to call it the FC and gaming newscast.
Well, that just rolls right off the tongue.
So why don't you go ahead and give us this big first topic, which I feel completely drops a massive ass ball.
First of all, I don't know what an ass ball is. I probably wouldn't want to know what that is, but as your gaming news gentleman, sir, awesomeness, we shall start with a big topic, because that's what we do, big things. Okay, here we go. Valve has announced the Steam Family Sharing Plan. This has been a little bit talked about on the website already, www.fcwars.net, in case you don't know. But yes, Toast, I imagine you have something to say about this family sharing plan.
I actually do. I mean, I think we all remember a type of plan like this coming up with the original talk of the Xbox One. And I gotta say, I love this. I love it so much. Because, for example, both me and my younger brother, considering that he's my younger brother of all people, I've raised him to be a gamer. And we both have very different Steam libraries. And a lot of the times we'd like to play each other's stuff, but we just go on each other's accounts because we see no need to, you know, buy it again when we have somebody that we can play it from. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But with something like this, him and I can just share shit. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, and so with the Steam Family Sharing Plan, it's like a checkout system from a library, so that, well, it's kind of not, but it kind of is. So with Steam, what happens is that you can lend a game to someone else, but when you sign back in on your PC, that gives the other person 5 minutes to save all their crap and quit, and then you regain control of your Steam library. So it's not like the Xbox sharing plan, which would allow for them to have the game until you wanted it back. However, it is a good step in the direction of what we wanted to go with an all-digital future. I just think it's incredibly funny and hilarious that the gamers, the PC master race, and everyone else is like, this is such an amazing idea! But Microsoft announced it first, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think this is just Steam definitely doing what they do in terms of being, I would argue, one of the best companies in the gaming world.
Except that they don't know how to count to the number three.
Don't bring that up, please. I don't want to talk about Valve and their inability to count. It makes me sad. But the one thing that I didn't know that I actually was just enlightened by Max is, so you can only play shared things while the other person is signed out?
That would be as I have heard it described, yes.
Okay, so it's not just like until they, okay, that's, well, that's
that,
a...
That would be gifting, which is what Steam already has. So I guess they needed a differentiation? I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Because I was going to say, interesting. Well, I now know what I'm going to do with any close buddies that I have that go away to basic for a couple months.
Well, first of all, you have friends?
That was mean.
It's something I tend to say a lot, because I really, in reality, don't have any friends. So, yeah, sad story. Play sad music in the background.
That's just me. No, I'm done. Me and Max can no longer be friends, everyone.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is exactly why we cannot have nice things.
Speaking of people that can't have... Yeah, okay, shut up. I'm talking about news here.
No, speaking
of nice things and not so nice things, a game developer, a couple of anonymous game developers, have said that the PlayStation 4 is much more powerful than the Xbox One, but people are just using this headline to draw people in. What he's actually saying is, it's from Adrian Kmialars or something, who used to work at the studio People Can Fly, who made Bulletstorm for Epic, and he pointed to a significant speed difference favoring the PlayStation 4, and that it is a 50% difference when developing on the console, or next-gen, cross-gen consoles. He's saying that the PlayStation 4 environment is a lot better for developing because the drivers are more advanced, because Sony has been working longer on their drivers and stuff, and Xbox and Microsoft have been catching up. So this is old news because Microsoft apparently dropped new drivers prior to Gamescom. However, we don't know, but it sounds like Microsoft's drivers kind of suck. And the comparison that he brought up is that you can have a game running at like 40 frames a second on a 1920 by 1440 resolution or whatever, and you can have that running fine, but on the Xbox you can have it running 16:9, as in 1600 by 900, and it'll have it only running at 20 frames a second because the drivers suck so much right now. So as obviously troll bait and flame bait has been dispersed into the environment courtesy of the gaming press. So, first of all, what do you think, and why do you think it, and do you want to give me money?
Is this to me, or is this to the listeners?
This is for everyone.
Well, I don't want to give you money. But I think this is, like you said, it's old news. Like, when I first read that headline, I was thinking something else, like I think everybody else was. But once I kind of read the fine print, yeah, this is something we already knew. In case you guys were wondering why I was yelling, Max, do you know why I was yelling?
I don't necessarily know why you were yelling.
Because my Charger game just finished up, and Chargers won, so...
Congratulations.
The rest of today is irrelevant. No, it's not, because Battle Knights are coming soon. But, or actually, for you guys, they already happened. Hey! But, yeah, this is, like I said, pretty much old news. In terms of a speed difference when developing, I thought it was kind of just always known that that was easier and much quicker on Sony's side than it was on Microsoft. But
as in, even for this gen?
I thought for this gen it was also quicker, was it not?
Oh, you are so mistaken, sir. The Xbox and Microsoft has always been related to PC architecture and based on an x86 system. The PlayStation 3 was built on a Cell processor, which nobody had ever used before. So that's why right now, the PlayStation developers, the developers that have stayed with PlayStation, they're releasing games like Last of Us, and they look beautiful. That's because they learned how to use a Cell processor. Many people, they don't care. They just make it on Xbox, and they port it over to PS3 because it's so much easier to make it on the Xbox. So it looks like this time, the roles are reversed once again, almost like in 180, because the Xbox One, as we all know, is technically called the Xbox 180.
I would disagree. I wanted it to be called the 720, but that's irrelevant.
Your face is irrelevant.
My face is irrelevant.
Exactly, because this is a podcast. Nobody can see us. And if you can, I'm kind of freaked out. So
yeah, I'd like to know where you are, because this means you're listening to this on Monday, which means you're also following me at school, I suppose.
Yeah. So why don't you take this next big topic, Toast?
This next one, in case you guys were wondering what the top-selling games of August were, well, it's a little surprising. Number one, out of nowhere, resurfacing, is Halo 3, which I could not believe. Could you believe that, Max?
Well, because it was games with gold, so it was free, so it makes sense.
Lol. But anyway, no. Actually, the top-selling games of August coming in at number one was, of course, Madden. Especially this being football season, you even heard me yell about football. Madden kind of tends to go up towards number one when it's released, and then drops like a cliff.
Even though, according to reviews, It was one of the worst Maddens ever. Madden 25 was one of the worst Maddens ever.
And here's the reason, because Madden, they have the exclusive rights to the NFL, so they have no competition, so they keep just being able to push out shitty games and no one can do anything about it.
Yeah, America.
America. The second one's one that I've actually heard lots about and that I'm very much looking forward to play when I get some extra spending money is Saints Row 4. No big surprise there. The third one, and this is something I don't really know what this is Disney Infinity. The hell is that, Max?
You know Skylanders? As in the game based off of the Spyro universe where you have all these little figurines and you place them on a little container and it puts them in the game. It's arranged with all the kids and all the moms out there. Well, Skylanders Swap Force is coming out for the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. But it's basically Skylanders copied and pasted and reskinned with Disney characters and rebranded as Disney Infinity, and then they released that. So you buy these little figurines, you put them on a little pedestal that reads like a code, and it puts it into the game, and then you control that character in the game. And all these platforming and levels and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's actually selling kind of well because, yeah.
And I'm very sad to see that that's beating out at the number four spot is Splinter Cell Blacklist, which...
Granted, Splinter Cell Blacklist came out at the tail end of August. Disney Infinity came out a little bit before then. But, yeah. I got Splinter Cell Blacklist for free because I hassled Newegg. And it was fun. And I really enjoyed it. And I highly recommend playing it. Probably more as a rent, considering all the games that are coming out. But I highly suggest you play it.
And number five, to top it out, is Minecraft. Now, is this 360 Minecraft or console
Minecraft? I think
it's Minecraft
across all platforms.
Across all platforms.
I think it's just generalized. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, hell, I'm still glad to see Minecraft being that high, especially with 1.7, the update coming out very, very soon for those of you guys playing on the PC. And in terms of other things, I know the consoles just recently had an update not too long ago, added things like the jungle biome and quite a few other things. So,
yeah, cool, fun stuff and things. I don't play Minecraft, honestly, because I know I'll get sucked into it, and I don't need any more time sucks in my life.
Yeah, I know. I recently, last night, for those of you guys listening, are going to be like, Toast just found this, but I just found, due to the Minecraft chat, actually, for the Minecraft server we have for FC, which y'all should totally check out, get in contact with Juggernaut, they were talking about how it was originally on Feed the Beast, and I was like, I should check this out. It's a mod pack. It's essentially a combination of all the mods that I ever wanted and that I was going to put in a mod pack that I wanted to make myself. So, yeah, it has become another time suck.
Yay! I'll let you go with this next one because you did such a great time. Great job with the last one.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Guess what happened last month, Max?
Oh, I don't know. Surprise me.
Surprise you? The Xbox 360 sold 96,000 units.
Last month.
Last month!
In the United States, I do believe this is for. And this is from the NPD reports, so if you know them, they do all the reporting on selling and ratings and things. And yeah, this is the 32nd consecutive month the Xbox 360 was the best-selling console in the continent. Well, not in the continent, just in the United States in general. So yeah, that's a thing. Microsoft.
I think we see who won this generation.
Yeah, even with a new Xbox 360 model that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
It just looks ugly compared to the Slim that I have.
Okay, I have a question because I also have a Slim.
Yeah.
Is your Slim very loud and very slow?
No.
Okay, then it's just my console. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, have you installed the game that you're playing?
Yes. It's loud when it boots and then it goes silent if I install it, which I do all the time anyway.
Okay.
But no, my console itself is very slow. Like, I've compared it to other people's 360s, and my console seems to run slow.
Well, you could always completely factory reset your console. That would perk it right back up. You might lose all of your data and all of your settings, but who cares?
Yeah, how about no?
All right, moving on to more big news, because nobody likes big news like Big News Guy Max Dog Guy. Okay, Sony Worldwide Studios and Sony Computer Entertainment President Shuhei Yoshida said on Twitter that, quote, We'd like to keep gamers happy and are considering every possibility regarding PlayStation 4's gameplay capture. We'll update you soon. And then, end quote. And he was responding on Twitter to criticism that the PlayStation 4 will not allow external game capture devices for usage. Example, the Elgato, HD, PVR. As of now, the only way to record footage on the PlayStation 4 is via Ustream, Twitch.tv, or their PlayStation Network feeds, which you can only use if you're on a PlayStation system. Xbox One, however, quote, works just like the Xbox 360 does, end quote, for game capturing and recording. So, is that important to you at all as a gaming guy, or do you not give a crap?
These are questions that people should be answering in their listener mail for sure. I know for sure what I'm going to be doing in terms of recording.
Oh, what will you be doing in terms of recording?
Actually, in case you guys haven't heard, expect in the coming however many months, because both Kaz and I have to get it first, but Kaz and I are actually going to create a Let's Play channel. And him and I will be doing not only Xbox One playthroughs of things, but we're also going to be doing this for the PC for Minecraft and a bunch of other stuff. So expect it in the future.
Yeah. So the more you know. The Electronic Arts has dated their PlayStation 4 and Xbox One launch titles and one they'll be coming out. In a blog post, Chief Operating Officer Peter Moore stated that all three games will launch on November 19th for Xbox One and November 12th for PlayStation 4. And if you know, the November 12th and November 19th dates are all prior to the actual consoles coming out. And the reasoning behind this, apparently, is that they need to keep their supply chain and all set, and they want to make sure their shipments get there and that there aren't any issues. So they're just releasing the games prior to a console actually releasing. That's kind of odd, don't you think, Toast?
I think it really is. Especially because I can see this starting to breed some kind of weird debate, if you know what I mean, about things coming out first for the PS4. When in fucking reality, it doesn't matter because the consoles aren't out.
Nothing really matters.
Nothing really matters. And now we're going to start playing Metallica. Nothing else matters. But anyway, I just consider that odd. I don't understand that one at all.
I was totally going for, like, classic rock reference. Nothing really matters. Nothing really matters to me.
Yeah, no, I know. We could have gone that direction, but I wanted to go Metallica. Well, I'm not feeling Freddy right now, damn it.
All right, let's move into some quick hits and some Xbox news. The very first Xbox One is off the assembly line, and there's a photo of it, and it's in its nice green packaging. And Phil Spencer will be taking it to the Tokyo Game Show to show it off, the actual production units that people will be buying and playing. So, yeah. Drivers hopefully won't bug out and make it crash and then people will laugh at it. But hey, we have consoles rolling off the shelves now. Toast, do you care about the Tokyo Game Show? And do you think Microsoft has any purpose for being at the Tokyo Game Show when they already lost Japan?
Nope. The way that I see it is, you're not going to win in Japan to begin with. You're already not winning in the eyes of Japan. And a little fucking game show isn't going to change that. What he should be doing instead is be showcasing it over in the European market, because the European market is the one that's up for grabs. Right now they're leaning PS4, but they still have a chance to redeem themselves. In terms of fucking Japan, though, Sony's going to win regardless. Sony could make a Wii remake, and it would beat the Xbox One.
All right. Also, Microsoft has bought Xbone.com because people are calling it that. And they wanted to make sure no shenanigans could happen. So they decided to buy Xbone.com. Xbone. Do you have any comments about the nickname for the Xbox One, Toast?
Lol. Literally lol. I think I'm going to go into my favorites now and change my Microsoft thing to Xbone and favorite it.
Ermerger. Okay. Xbox One is having a road tour, and it's called The Road to Launch, and they're visiting some Microsoft stores in and around all the places where they're launching new stores. and you'll be able to play the Xbox One there. They start in September. Actually, the next one is in, at the Burlington Mall in Burlington, Massachusetts, and it's September 19th at 11 a.m. And then there's the shops at Prudential Center in Boston, Massachusetts at September 20th. And there's the mall at Millennia in Orlando, Florida on October 23rd from 7:30 to 9 p.m. That's when all these are, 7:30 to 9 p.m. And then West Edmonton in Edmonton, Canada on the 27th. And then Scottsdale Fashion Square in Arizona on December 6th, which I don't know why they care about December 6th because the console will be out then. But hey, you can play an Xbox One if you don't have it if you're in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Well, I'm in California, so I'm near Arizona, and December 6th is my birthday. I may just have to make a trip.
Party har har. Also, they'll be announcing more dates as they go along. But those are the only ones that are announced right now. Moving on to more Xbox news. This is also another topic that has been talked about on the interwebs and on our website, scwars.net. Microsoft's take on Siri is currently codenamed Cortana. It's not necessarily Cortana's voice, but it's codenamed Cortana. What do you think it will be, Toast? Do you think it'll just be another robot, or do you think they're just going to actually have Jen Taylor record all of the audio and be
awesome? I will put it this way. If they have Jen Taylor do it, their sales will be boosted for sure. I personally am rocking an Android, and I love my Droid, but I would switch over to the Windows phone if the fucking voice command construct was Cortana. Hands down. It'd be awesome.
Now, see, if you were to hack your Android phone, and if that did come out on Windows phone, I'm pretty sure someone would hack it so you could use it. Right now, I'm extremely happy with my Droid Max that I just bought, and it's brand new, and it's amazing, and it's beautiful, and it's awesome. This is a little advertising stint. Hopefully, Motorola will give me money, Google will give me money. You know, hawking your product here. But yeah, I won't switch to Windows phone, but I think it'll be very cool. And if someone were to hack it, I would definitely put it on my phone because Android is customizable and only people who have iPhones, you can't customize your phones, except you can buy the Android 5C, I mean the iPhone 5C, and you can get pretty colors with the old tech. But yeah, that's a topic for another day.
The reason why I say that is I definitely love my Droid, but my Droid's a little old.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I'm in need for an upgrade anyway, and that would be the thing to sway me, is the thing.
All right. Microsoft has discussed the possibility of Geometry Wars coming to Xbox One. Toast, are you excited for Geometry Wars?
Do you like Geometry Wars? Why? Why is this even being discussed?
Well, because someone on Twitter asked the guy, and they're like, well, there's been talks. That was the answer.
Is Geometry Wars that big?
Talks have been had. It's one of the largest arcade games ever, basically. Well, but on Xbox.
I just didn't think it mattered, I guess.
but that music.
I played it for all of, like, 5 minutes and then was like, eh, if I want to play an arcade game, I'll actually go and, like, emulate Tron. But
yeah, anyway. I wasn't terribly good at Geometry Wars, but it was fun. Nice achievements. It was a great time. So, yeah. Moving on, I will let you move on.
You're going to let me move on?
I'm going to let you move on by moving on.
Fair wild ride. And what I mean by a wild ride is that the Dead Rising 3 co-op details have been revealed.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun. Capcom Vancouver has essentially released some fresh details regarding Dead Rising 3's co-op mode, in which they point out that the protagonist, Nick Ramos, is going to be joined by a big rig truck driver called Dick. That's not a typo. It's Dick. I will also be saying his name like that for the rest of this piece. Dick will also appear alongside the cast of the game in single player, although he's more of a bit part player. In the co-op, you're going to be able to take advantage of special vehicles specifically designed to be operated by two people, including one that allows you to rain down lightning on zombies. Yes, your car should be codenamed Thor.
Or also, Optimus Prime.
An in-game and complete, say, to the fifth level, then when you return to your own game, that stage will show as complete. Example of other games that do this are Borderlands 2. So,
yeah, now you are filled in with all of your Dead Rising zombie news. You're welcome, America.
Dead Rising is not the game, though, that everyone wants to hear. What everybody wants to hear about right now is Call of Duty Ghosts.
Boom!
It's Call of Duty Ghosts. It's the best game ever. And anybody who disagrees is fucking stupid. Because you know what? They have a dog. Does Master Chief have a dog? No, they no. don't. Call of Duty Ghosts does.
Yeah. If you play Fable 3, you have a dog. But it's cool. But it doesn't attack people and kill people in the way that Riley, the Navy SEAL SWAT dog, does. Boom.
And in Fable, you didn't have guns. Boom.
Well, actually, you did.
Well, yeah, but you didn't have, like, modern, full-on assault rifle.
Well, there was Hal's assault rifle, because there was a crossover with Halo, so you can have Hal's armor, which is Master Chief's armor. There was an energy sword called Hal's sword, but it was just, like, a normal sword. And then there was Hal's gun, which is an assault rifle, and it was shot really, really fast. So it's kind of an assault rifle, and it kind of shot fast. So
I didn't know this existed. I actually hated the Fable series, but...
Well, don't worry, because we have Fable News after this. But yes, I will let you talk about your most favorite game ever, Call of Duty Ghost. Go!
It's my favorite game. It's the only game that I'm for sure going to make sure that I get that's coming out, and I'm going to play it ever die. Call of Duty Ghost is going to include Kinect voice controls. They're jumping on the bandwagon, woo-hoo! But they're doing it better. Boom!
Your mind has been exploded.
Also, the new Call of Duty Ghost trailer takes you into outer space.
Have you seen
I guess
trailer?
That's cool. Space was pretty much really, really cool when Portal 2 did it, and now that Call of Duty Ghosts is doing it, I'm not on board.
Well, have you seen the trailer?
I haven't, but I don't care.
Well, basically,
I will watch the trailer.
There's people
I know
on
I'm
the...
Not gonna be buying
it
Call of
basically
Duty
explains
Ghosts.
The entire premise for the opening of the story and why, like, America is all destroyed and stuff like that. So if you care, it's actually... The premise behind it is kind of cool. The gameplay part, well, it looks crap because it's the same engine, just upgraded, quote-unquote. You see me doing air quotes right now. But they have people firing guns in space, but they're not getting blown back by the recoil when they fire the guns, which doesn't make any sense because, especially in space, recoil will definitely push you back from a gun. So
yeah, they actually have that in NASA safety kits as a gun with you, so you can propel yourself into a certain direction if you need to.
Exactly. Also, lol what? Call of Duty Ghost creators at GameStop include discounts on Eminem's newest album.
That's the selling point. I love me some Slim Shady.
He does have a track that they used in the trailer, but yeah, all you people... That pre-order that GameStop edition of Call of Duty, you get discounts on the Kid from 8 Mile's album. Maybe being from Detroit and knowing where 8 Mile is, well, you don't want to go to 8 Mile, first of all. But yeah, if you like his music and you like Call of Duty, you're probably wanting to fit in a couple of categories of white trash douches or other things. But generally, I'm going to generalize all of you into that category.
What
and
if you
can write
just
me,
like...
You can write me in listener mail and tell me that you're not a white trash douche. Maybe I'll believe you, but you must send me listener mail to figure out if, you know, there's actually a difference here. Yeah. So.
My question is, what if you only like Eminem, but you don't like Call of Duty? Are you still white trash douchebag?
There's a high probability, but it's not a given.
Well, because I like Eminem. I love me some Slim Shady, no joke.
Well, I like some of his older stuff, too, but. Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, if we're going to get specific, I am talking older stuff, so...
Yeah, okay. Now, because we talked about our best, most favoriteest game ever, Call of Duty Ghosts, we're going to go on to the game that sucks and is terrible, called Halo 4. Yeah! There's a new bulletin this week, and there's matchmaking, and it now has Halo 3-type playlists with how everything's all arranged, so if you care about that, you can do that. If you still play Halo 4. Like... Battle Knights on Halo 4, FCWars.net. Boom. Okay, also, more Halo 4 news. If you want to play Halo 4 Ricochet, the most amazing mode ever created for Halo 4, you can now play it in multi-team variants, so you can download it. There'll be a link down below or somewhere on this page on FCWars.net.
It will be below the embed in the links, as always.
Also, Microsoft's Tokyo Game Show booth will be packed with 29 playable Xbox One and 360 games. It's more like 11 Xbox One games and like all the rest are 360 games. But hey, 29, let's group them all together.
Why? Why are they even doing this?
Because they have to. Because it's gaming press.
No, they don't.
It's press, regardless or not. There's going to be press there and then there's going to be Japanese specific press, so they have to show off their games.
I guess.
And because you don't like Fable, I'm gonna have you read this next segment.
Oh, I actually, hang on, I want to correct that real quick. It's not that I disliked Fable.
You disliked
I just felt the gameplay sucked, the storyline was cheesy, and it didn't really, it shouldn't have ever been marketed as an RPG, but anyway.
Okay.
Fable Anniversary is going to be delayed until 2014 of February. February of 2014. God, I am like off my game.
Well, if you're from Europe, like
Fable Legends could be an MMO.
Yeah, Fable Legends could be an MMO. And there's a quote, and I'll let Toast read it because you like hearing his voice.
Lionhead studio leader John Needham said that, and I quote, "This is the next big Fable game that is going to be out for 5 to 10 years, so it needs to be big. It needs to be interesting. There needs to be a lot of stuff to do. It needs to integrate all the cloud and Xbox One features so we keep our community alive and growing. So yeah, it's big and ambitious, but it needs to be because it's going to be around for a long time."
Huh.
You know what that sounds a lot like?
What does it sound a lot like?
Exactly what Bungie said about Destiny.
Huh. But yeah, Fable in the past has used like these little orb things walking around, so you can have like your little world and you interact with other people that are doing the same things as you are. So we don't know if it's just that or if they're like actually making it an MMO style type game where you have a lot of people in like a hub area, like physically around, and then team up with people on quests. I don't know. We don't know. It's just a quote taken out of context, quite honestly. But yeah, if you want to learn more, you can click that link that Toast will have posted, and you will learn more, because we like to learn here. This is almost like the learning channel, except that we don't play Honey Boo Boo. America.
You don't know what I do in my free time.
You know, I wasn't referencing you, but do we need to have an intervention, Toast?
No.
Also, Xbox Music has expanded to iOS and Android, and will be on Xbox One at launch. And it's kind of similar to like Google Play Music and Spotify. So you have like a pass where you can just listen to music because you want to listen to music. So if that's your kind of thing and you want to have it integrated with your Microsoft stuff, you can go ahead and do that. I personally won't be using it. Toast, will you be using it?
No. I've never liked Xbox Music at all. I do play music for my Xbox occasionally, but it's music that I have onto a USB drive that I play when I'm like, I don't know, fucking around in Madden or something.
Cool story. We shall now move to general gaming news. And every game coming out between the PS4 and Xbox One is all in a nice, tidy little list. So if you want to click it and look at games, you can look at games because we will let you. And then, switching over to Battlefield 4 news, the minimum and recommended specs for Battlefield 4 have been listed. And it's quite intriguing what they want you to have. Now, what do they want you to have for recommended systems? By golly, I shall tell you, because I feel it is my duty to bestow great news upon you. And, you know, Battlefield 4 is amazing and Call of Duty sucks. Well, it doesn't suck. It blows. Excuse me for that. Okay, your recommended settings, because nobody cares about minimum settings, your recommended settings for Battlefield 4 are to have Windows 8, 64-bit. Okay, then you have a processor of an AMD 6-core CPU or an Intel quad-core CPU, so that's general. Memory wants you to have 8 gigs of RAM. Your graphics card, it suggests an AMD Radeon HD 7870 or an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 660, and it wants your graphics memory to be 3 gigabytes and your hard drive to have 30 gigabytes of space. Toast, do you have a machine that can run such a thing?
I do not.
Do you plan on building such a machine that can run such a thing?
Yes, I do.
Oh, really? I had such a machine that's already built and can handle that, except that I don't have Windows 8. I have a Core i5 2500K. I have 16 gigs of RAM. I have a GeForce GTX 760, but I only have 2 gigs of graphics memory. And then I have crap tons of hard drive space. So you should at least try to match me, Toast, so...
I will match
you. You can come up to my level, bro.
I will match and exceed you for sure. The only reason why I haven't done it yet is, one, I'm a little low on cash, and two, I'm saving up because I will be moving states next year. So I've decided that I'm going to build my rig after I've moved and set myself up, if you know what I mean. But definitely, my rig is going to put everyone's to shame. I'm willing to put – I'm building it myself, and I'm planning on putting like over $2,000 into it. Massive-ass power.
You're moving away from sunny California? You're going to make all of your listeners terribly sad.
I hate California. It's the suburban capital. I hate suburbia.
Okay, then. Well, because you don't like suburbia, let's talk about Grand Theft Auto. Go ahead.
New GTA 5 details emerge ahead of release. A little interesting. These details are, of course, available in the link below. Unless, Max, do you feel we should go into them?
I think if you like GTA 5, or if you're even considering GTA 5, you will find out this information by yourself. Or, if not, you just have retarded monkeys tell you everything about the game, because he knows everything about the game. And in the Legacy chat on Skype, he talks about GTA 5 all day, every day. And then he swears at us and calls us mean things. But then he talks about GTA 5 again.
Oh, monkey. I need to chill with monkey. It's been a while since I have.
He's crazy.
Next piece is that there's been a leaked Grand Theft Auto 5 map, and it's fucking massive.
Yeah, you can fit the maps from all the other GTAs in that map area. And there's like a lot of GIFs out there showing you like zooming in on like a specific area and like showing you a little point on the map and showing you what it looks like in the game. But yeah, it looks like maybe like only 1/4 to like maybe 2/5 of the game is actually city. A lot of it's like wilderness areas and open areas. So that's a bit interesting. Why is it? I don't know if it's necessarily necessary, but it'll see how the old consoles, you know, try to handle that. But, you know, thankfully they're not going for hyper-realism. So it should work fine. But, yeah, it's going to be freaking massive.
GTA 5 is also one of history's most expensive games.
And it's probably going to take about around 100 hours to complete. And there are rumors that it's cost like somewhere around $200 million and upwards of $200 million to do. So, yeah, we should all buy GTA 5 and make sure Rockstar doesn't go under, which will never happen.
Yeah, let's hopefully it doesn't, because Rockstar I love. Also, Grand Theft Auto 5 has a gratuitous swag unboxing.
Well, yeah, over on Destructoid, Jim Sterling, the Jimquisition or whatever, get a bunch of swag from GTA 5, and it's kind of cool. And it also involves a little stuffed dog that has a pocket up its rear end where you can hide things. So, yeah.
You see, with you, Max, I couldn't tell by swag at first if you meant actual merch or if you meant swag, like swagtastic.
Like J-Beebs swag?
Your no, favorite J-Beeb artist ever? Swag. See, I have the swag.
You have swagger.
I've got swagger and swag.
Well, watch out, ladies.
Watch
Mr. Swagmeister McSwaxed Swag is coming towards you.
Oh, Jesus. Also, Rockstar Games has launched a social network parody called Life Invader.
Basically Facebook, but it's GTA 5 theme. They did this GTA 4, and it was funny, but it was only accessible in-game, really. But now it's available online, and you can create Life Invader, and you can be parodied and trolled by Rockstar, because that's what Rockstar does. They're the South Park of the gaming universe.
They are, and it's fucking great. There's nothing better than playing through a Rockstar game, especially in GTA universe, and just listening to the radio.
Yeah. Also, speaking of trolling and parodying things, Saints Row 4 is getting a GAT 5, which is GAT 5, and Wild West DLC next week. Well, one of the main characters, if you don't know, his name is Gat. And so they called it Gat V to make up, instead of GTA 5, it's GATV. Because trolling is troll.
Also, coming to the 360, PS3, and PC, interestingly enough, is Assassin's Creed Liberation, which I believe originally was only on the PlayStation's handheld consoles, was it not?
It was only on those consoles, you are correct. But now they're creating an HD version, and they've been redoing a lot of the graphics and overhauling it and porting it over. So yeah, it'll be coming out I don't know if they announced a release date, but it will be coming out on there. And also, Ubisoft has a crap ton more amount of news, and Toast will help you bring some more information in.
Also, Assassin's Creed is going to get a standalone naval battle game, which, interestingly enough, I feel that that is definitely in its place. Because personally, and this is again my personal opinion, I have not yet gotten to Black Flag, of course, but AC3 had the whole naval battle thing, and pretty much the direction Ubisoft started to go and what they were talking about is that they were going to focus on that a lot, and that started to piss me off, because as much as I enjoyed the naval battles, it's not the point of Assassin's Creed.
Well, yeah. Well, thankfully you won't have to pay full price for this, like a full console price, because it's only coming out on phones and tablets. But it has no connection to the AC4 companion app. It's a separate own little game. And it's more money for Ubisoft, because Ubisoft loves milking the hell out of franchises.
Yeah. I'm now sad.
Sad panda, sad.
I had to watch Ubisoft slowly kill my favorite series of all time. This beat out Half-Life for me for a very long time.
Oh, really?
Yes, I loved it so much, and then they fucking dropped the ball.
Balls were dropped, ladies and gentlemen. Balls
but
were
speaking
dropped.
Of people's balls dropping, I think their balls may drop when they're able to see what Assassin's Creed will look like on the PS4 and the Xbox One in the link below.
Yeah, and it's a trailer for their like new engine and stuff like that. Anvil 2, I think it is, or Anvil 3. I don't know which number they're up to now. But I think it was funny that good guy Microsoft posted it on YouTube in 720p only. No, you don't do that. You're showing off next-gen graphics. You don't post in 720p, sir or madam that posted it. You posted in 1080p, damn it. But, yeah, Xbox is dumb.
Well, then.
That's why we can't have nice things, obviously.
It really is.
Also, more Tom Clancy's news, otherwise known as Ubisoft Milking Franchises news. Tom Clancy Ensmore runs your browser into the theater of war, and basically it's Tom Clancy's Ensmore online, but like in a browser running Flash. So that's a thing.
Cool. Far Cry 3's Blood Dragon roared past 1 million copies sold.
There's a retail release possible as well. Awesome. Cool. Let's move on. Uplay from Ubisoft is going to be deeply integrated with the Xbox One and PS4 games, so hopefully it won't take 9 years to load and completely kick you out of the game, like it has for all these other consoles, like 360 and PS3 and PC. But, so yeah, hopefully it doesn't suck, but meh for people trying to integrate things on top of things that are already integrated.
Whenever I hear the word integration and the way in which integration is stacking up, all I can think of is two E3s ago when Trey Parker and Matt Stone talked about the Stick of Destiny for South Park, and they had that whole spiel about having everything connected to everything and how it's just completely unnecessary and stupid and no one cares.
Oh my god, who the hell cares?
Yeah,
that's
don't
a different
go
reference
there.
Entirely, but hey.
Don't go there. Anyway, Payday 2 sells 1.58 million copies.
Yeah, so if you play Payday 2, you can have a lot of people play it with you, hopefully, because they don't get upset by all the bugs in it.
Also, back on the 12th, so about 4 days ago for you guys listening, Steam turned 10 years old.
Yeah, and it's old. And it also used to suck because of its always-on DRM stuff way back in the day. But now everybody thinks Steam and Valve are the gods of the universe. I wonder what would have happened if Microsoft had stayed with their path. Who knows? We'll never know now. Thanks, Microsoft.
Also, there's going to be a Game of the Year edition of Dishonored launching on October 8th.
So, yeah, it'll have all the DLC in it. So if you never played Dishonored before, I highly recommend picking this up. Dishonored was a great game. I highly enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. And also,
what
moving
is
on
this?
With BioWare news, Yannick R. Roy, who is the studio head of BioWare Montreal, he tweeted a couple of days ago that the rest of BioWare just recently saw the first look at the new Mass Effect game, and the reaction tells me that we're on the right track with a little smiley face at the end. So, yeah, new Mass Effect, and apparently it's viewable slash playable, and all of BioWare likes it. So, Toast, are you excited for another Mass Effect game?
One, I didn't know there was another one coming. I guess I've been out of the loop.
Yes, you have been out of the loop. That has been industry known knowledge for a year, at least a year.
Oh, well, Yeezus is going to kill me for this, but I don't keep too much of an eye on BioWare. I kind of take what they give me as it comes. My question is more of, what are you going to do with the new Mass Effect game?
It won't be in the same type of segment of the universe, apparently, that Commander Shepard is in. It's not a continuation. It's not Mass Effect 4, like a sequel. But apparently it's in the Mass Effect universe, because that universe is amazing. So nobody knows what it is, but it's going to be another Mass Effect game, and Ubisoft launch, BioWare Montreal is making it. So yeah, that's a thing.
I will be interested, and I will be looking for it. My question is really just more of, where does it fit into the timeline, and where does it fit in the universe?
I agree. More news. The Burnout series developer Criterion Games has been reduced to a headcount of about 16 people under the leadership of Electronic Arts. Now you might be thinking, oh, this is terrible, this is... Ah. Well, most of the people that worked on driving games for Criterion, about 60 to 65 people, they have formed a new label called Ghost Games UK within Criterion to work on Need for Speed Rivals. Ghost Games is based out of, I think somewhere in Western Europe. I don't remember specifically where. But now they're a UK unit, but within Criterion, but they're not working on... But the new project that Criterion is doing, which is something not related to racing games whatsoever. Criterion is making a game that's not a racing game. So all the people that were good at making racing games, they've all moved on to other places because people got old of making racing games for over 10 years. That's a thing.
Well, the next section of this, I think that we're going to hit on real quick. Raz will be at least happy to hear about. If you guys didn't listen to the last podcast, you should. We had Raz on the show. We discussed the PS4. So a tiny bit of this I think we already might have mentioned, but... just throw it at you real quick. PlayStation Vita TV has been announced. Yay.
Yeah, it's basically Apple TV, but with the PlayStation branding on it, and you can remote play your PlayStation 4 on a Vita on the same network. So that's a thing.
PlayStation 4 is going to launch February 22nd, 2014 in Japan.
So they must be ridiculously confident that the fanboys in Japan won't go out and buy another console that comes out, say November 22nd. 2013.
Yeah. Also, there's going to be a new PlayStation Vita being released coming October 10th, where it's going to be lighter, thinner, and have a lot more battery life.
Yeah, it no longer has an OLED screen. They've replaced it with an LCD screen to be thinner and cheaper, and yeah, cheap stuff. Yeah.
Also, Sony is holding back a stock of PS4, so they'll be available in stores on launch day.
So, for all of you people that didn't order a PS4 or pre-order it, there might be some in stores on launch day, so if you randomly got an extra $400 plus tax, plus games, plus extra controller, plus whatever, you can go ahead and buy a PS4 in store on day one.
And now to go ahead and start wrapping this up for you guys, we've got some general news. One, the Humble Indie Bundle 9 offers Trine 2, Mark of the Ninja, and more.
Yes, I've already picked up this bundle. It's a pretty great bundle. It's a Humble Indie Bundle. I like bundles. You like bundles. We all like bundles. We also like helping charity, which is what the Humble Indie Bundle does. Try saying Humble Indie Bundle like 20 times in a row. And if you can do that, and if you can send that in, we might give you something in the form of gratitude for being awesome.
You might just, I don't know, maybe win a fucking contest, because no one else has sent anything else in.
Yeah.
Other general news, there's two new iPhone 5 models that are being revealed. The cheaper 5C and the more powerful 5S. Just lol.
Well, yeah. I know my sister and my mom are getting the 5S because they still have their original 4. But, yeah, if you care about that, there's links. And if you already don't know about it, you're probably not the Apple fanboy that you should be and that the world needs you to be. So, yeah. Speaking of BioWare again, Matthew Bromberg, who used to be the head of Ubisoft... Not Ubisoft. Why? Okay. Matthew Bromberg, who was the former head of BioWare Montreal, he's now the new boss for all of BioWare, and so he's the boss of Mass Effect and Dragon Age. So, yeah, new leadership since Ray Mizuka and... I can't say their names, so I'm going to say the doctors left. Okay. Also, in case you remember that Coast Toast Do you remember that channel called G4 when it used to be like a gaming channel and it had like really cool shows? You remember that?
I do, although I will say Attack of the Show was horrible, but unpopular opinion time.
Yeah. It was rumor and it was stated before that the Esquire network was replacing G4 in 2014 and that they were phasing out all the programming. Well, that's not the case anymore because the head of the conglomerates that own the Esquire network style network G4, they decided that they're going to place the Esquire network. They're going to place it in place of the style network because apparently they had like three different like women's channels and style network was the least favorite. So now they're making it a guy's channel, Esquire network. So if you care, you can. But G4 apparently will be sticking around in some way, shape, or form. So yeah.
Yeah.
Do you care?
Also, this next piece really kind of actually makes me sad, is that J.J. Abrams is emotionally hurt by the Star Trek game.
Yeah, so the tie-in game for Into Darkness, which is actually a prequel kind of sorts, apparently they stopped working on it collaboratively. Like, they started, like, producing it, and then they started working on it, but then he saw, like, gameplay, and was like, no, this is just terrible, you can't make this game. But because publishers are a thing, they decided to keep funding the company that was making it and release it anyway. And J.J. Abrams was emotionally hurt by it. So, yeah. He hates video game tie-ins that aren't done well. And he wanted to do one well, but then it just wasn't good and he gave up. But they kept making it anyway. So, yeah. Star Trek news.
This next one I cannot believe. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, we won't talk about it. NASA's Voyager 1 escapes our solar system and
becomes the first man-made device to enter
interstellar space.
That's what I care about and I love.
Well, I just hit a topic, so we're going to go back to yours at the very last one, and we'll make it a question at the end. Okay, so NASA's Voyager 1 escaped our solar system, and it launched like 36 years ago or something, and it becomes the first man-made device to enter interstellar space. Space, the final frontier. There's only like 267 more years until Kirk and Spock find it in the future. Yeah.
I love you, Max.
All right, for this last topic here, we're getting more movies and games in the Harry Potter universe, because of course we are. Yeah.
No.
Well, have you heard the news about it?
Haven't. Don't care. I think Harry Potter is the worst series ever and needs to die, personally.
I've never read it. I don't really care. But for all you people that do care, about Harry Potter. There was a book, a textbook that all the kids used at Hogwarts or whatever. It was like talking about beasts or whatever. And apparently this spin-off movie is being screenwritten by J.K. Rowling herself, and it will involve the writer of that book and his book and the beasts in said book. And there'll be games and movies about it. So yeah.
All I'm going to say is it is the exact same story arc. Okay, in case you guys don't know, there's only 12 stories in all of human history, and everything's a rehashing of them. Problem happens when the rehashings aren't anything different from one another, and in case you didn't notice, Harry Potter's the same fucking story as Star Wars, except they put magic instead of space. Anyway.
He's a bit upset about this.
I am very upset about this.
Yeah. So, being good guy Max Doggy, I didn't put a question for you because we asked you a lot of questions during this podcast, newscast, as it is more affectionately known as. So, we will ask you a question, and your question is, will you please make us stuff for our contest so that we can give you things, because we want to give you things. Make an introduction, an ending, or closing, a graphic for the FC podcast and the FC newscast. Either or, in fact, and you might just insta-win. And also, the last podcast had an amazing entry by myself into the contest, but I can't win, and it was a rehashing of the Bungie podcast theme. So if you want to rehash my rehash of the hash browns now, of the podcast, you can do so, and you'll win things, because we have, like, Microsoft points / monies to give away, and we want to give it away to you, but nobody really cares, and I feel really upset about it. And, you know, I might cry. I really don't want to cry on the radio, but, you know, I just might.
Max is going to cry, people. Seriously. Like, to be honest, we would even be really happy if somebody took Max's redub of the Bungie podcast intro and instead just, like, made a dubstep remix of it. I would love it. It'd be great.
Like, please?
But anyway, in terms of what you guys should be sending in for your listener mail for this newscast, we had plenty of questions that we asked you throughout here. Even just general responses would be nice. And, of course, please send something in for the contest. We're sitting here. We're just sitting on money at this point. Like, the fuck?
Yeah. Like,
but if you guys are wondering what's going to happen with the rest of the pod or with the listener mail stuff, we're going to address all those in the podcast from now on. Newscast is going to be just news. But in short, especially since Max is getting sad, the time is getting long, and we all have, I think, other things to do in life. I think we're going to go ahead and close this one out, guys, if that's okay with Max.
Yeah.
Oh. So from everybody here at the FC Newscast team, I want you guys to all remember to stay classy, send us in stuff, and stop making Max sad.
And at least my name isn't Gay Fuzzy Lumpster.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going thin. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. The imitation zone. Forget it, brother. You can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't want to shout. But while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see, we ain't got no hide. Except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice coming, the sun's zooming in, engines stop running, the wheat is going thick, a nuclear error, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. It was true. London calling at the top of the dial. And after all this,